Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
On to our first topic tonight. Is ageism the last ism we need to tackle? It's a question worth asking, especially after a recent case here in Dublin. The Hairy Lemon pub was ordered to pay €30,000 in compensation to 71-year-old John Mooney, who was fired because of his age. Mooney had worked at the pub for over 20 years, first as a barman and later as a maintenance worker. He says he was told that the pub's insurance had gone up because of his age, and he was handed a letter confirming his dismissal. The pub denied wrongdoing, but the Workplace Relations Commission ruled in his favour. Now, stories like this make you wonder how deep ageism runs in our society. We talk about it an awful lot, but I don't think we've ever gotten to the bottom of it, and that's what I hope to do tonight. We see it in conversations about whether older drivers should have tougher restrictions, even though studies show that they tend to be more cautious on the roads. And in workplaces, how often do we assume someone is too old for a job rather than valuing their experience? I know it's different all around the world. If you look at America, for instance, the seniors over there are seen as wise and, you know, well experienced, I suppose, for want of a better word. A survey from Age Action found that 23% of people believe older individuals get more than their fair share of public services, which shows you just how ingrained ageist attitudes can be. So, are we ageist? And if we are, is this the last form of discrimination we need to take seriously? So let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087-188-0008 or get involved on Facebook and X as well. I've got Rob on line one. Rob, you think people are being forced to retire and the doctors don't want to deal with over 60s?
Yeah, good night to you, Gary. I just listened to your intro there, yeah.
Good evening, Rob.
Gary, it's another one of these taboo subjects that we have here as well. People have been forced out of their jobs. I understand young people have to get a job as well, but the times when experience counts for a lot. Someone there having to give up their job at 65 years of age, or 63, or 60, whatever it is, in the private industry, you know, and that they're perfectly well able to do the job and have been doing it for years.
We see that an awful lot, Rob. We see that, Rob, don't we, in an awful lot of companies where if you reach a certain age, maybe 65 or whatever it is, they start talking about things like the golden handshake and maybe it's time to move on and force you
and
force people out.
The people want to stay. Yeah, you know, the people want to keep the job. I mean, a lot of people are quite healthy. People are living longer now anyway with the wonders of medical science.
Yeah, that's true, Rob, and they're fit and healthy and they're willing to work and they want to work.
Okay, it's not like a backbreaking work and stuff like that, I understand. But it then transfers over then into the medical side, though, where if you go over a certain kind of age, the nurses, docs, the medics, they're just how old are you now? 65? All right, okay, well, here's a prescription, sir. You come back to me in 3 or 4 months time, or whatever. You know.
Are you sure about that, Rob? Have you experienced that yourself?
I've seen it, Gary. Yeah, I've seen it. I've experienced it, Gary, firsthand with my own relations. So, a few years back, I know, and I've seen this before. I've seen this a good few times.
That a doctor would see somebody over 65, and they'd say to themselves, "Ah, here's the prescription. Off you go. Not to worry."
Yeah. Pretty much.
And if there's any doctors, if there's any doctors listening, I'd love them to get involved in this because I'd love to know if that's a thing because I haven't seen that now in hospitals and things like that. But in the workplace,
I've experienced it. It was horrible.
You've experienced it.
I've experienced it now with my own mother, and she passed. But here's the thing: they've had a lot of different complaints, but I think it's too complicated for them, Gary. The patients when they have multiple complaints, like 3 or 4 different things going on, it becomes a hassle to them. You know, you're a nuisance.
Well, that's sad. That's sad to hear because you wouldn't want that to be going on, would you, Rob?
Well, that's I have a great motto, Gary. Don't get old.
And do you,
try not to get
do you think as a society we sort of see through old people and we tend to ignore them? If that's your experience that you're talking about, I get that impression.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I'd love to see, I mean, I understand young couples and what have you, getting married and settling down and getting their own little family going and get rid of the mummy and the daddy. Put them into an old folks' home. You know, sell the house, sell the parents' house and stuff like that.
And forget about them.
Yeah. And that's what happens. That's forget about them being the word. Or, you know, and that does happen.
When you were going through that experience with your mother in the hospitals and that, did you say anything at the time? Did you say back to them, I think you're ignoring
them. Yeah, I did. I had to do all that. I had terrible battles to fight with the medics. Put them to take an interest. And I'm looking around the ward. I'm looking at the other old people in the wards or have you in some of these hospitals. I'm looking at them. And the people just left there to their own devices. The old folk.
Oh, that's shocking to hear.
Yeah. You know? It's there, Gary. It's not epidemic, but it's there.
And why do you think it is? You think young people just don't have the respect that they used to have? We'll be talking about something in that lane later on in the program about have we lost our manners, and it's somewhat in the same vein. But do you think that they just dismiss old people?
Old people would be dismissed. They'd be patronised. Because I've often been I'm backwards and forwards down in a couple of different A&E departments with people that I'd be bringing backwards and forwards. And I've seen the old folks being patronised.
Talk down to them,
you had these experiences. Talking down to them, yeah. I mean, have you seen any of this?
I've seen some things over the years. I went through the hospital system with my mother, who passed away, and she got wonderful treatment, so I've no problems there. But I did see things like.
But did you have to fight for it, Gary?
No, I wouldn't say I fought. I mean, we would have, you know, conversations, conversations, but we didn't have to fight. But my mum wasn't like really, really old in that regard. She was only in her late 70s at that stage. But I did see in nursing homes much older people just sitting there and not getting, I would imagine, the attention that they probably should have been getting.
And younger people as well, Gary, in old folks' homes. And just dumped to the side.
Yeah, no, that's...
You know, like 60s plus, you know.
Rob, stay with me there. I've got Sean on line too. Sean, you think it's disgusting what's going on?
Absolutely, Gary. Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it with my own. Now, I mean, not my family, but my extended family. You know, just putting their folks into, you know, the old folks' home where they don't need to be in there. Because there's nothing wrong with them. I just want, you know, to live their lives the way they want to live their lives. And, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking.
What do you mean, Sean? People just getting their parents into nursing homes and forgetting about them. Getting rid of a problem, so to speak.
Yeah. Exactly what I'm talking about. You know, yeah. 100% what I'm saying, Gary. You know, putting them, you know, pushing them. And I mean, they pushed them, and, you know, I don't want to get too much into it, but they pushed them, literally, into a nursing home. And there was nothing wrong with them, literally. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with them. You know, they're well aware of what's going on. You know, there's no problem with them going to the toilet. You know, and all the feedback I was getting, oh, they're shitting all over the place, and this and that and the other, and... You know, we done that. We got the hand that, you know, the health in and this, that, and that didn't work out. Yeah, no.
Well, nursing homes are big business. There's no doubt about it. And it's certainly not a cheap endeavour now to put somebody into a nursing home.
It's not. So here's the case, Gary. You know, when they have big money, the money's not a problem to these people, and that's the fact. you know, and sure, the house is on the line there, and sure, what have you not, you know, they don't want to be dealing with, you know, and the fact of the matter is, what I'm more disgusted at is, Gardaí, that, you know, I'd love, you know, to have my mother and father. I'd love to care for my mother and father, but you got the chance. You know, I never got the chance, but these people are just pushing them into nursing homes, and, you know, they don't want to know them. They don't care. They don't care. That's the new age that what we're dealing with here, you know. And it's sick. It's absolutely sick. As far as I think, it's fucking unbelievable, actually.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, like, Sean, I'm thinking to myself that if you go back 30 or 40 years, a lot of people had their parents living with them, their elderly parents or whatever it was, were living in the family home, and they were being looked after at home. You don't see that much of it anymore. You do see it, of course. There are plenty. And by the way, I just want to say there are plenty of people out there who are carers at the moment. And I tip my hat to them because they work very, very hard.
So, and the same as myself.
It's not everybody. But do you think the modern world is more likely to just go, put them into a home?
100%, Kerry. 110%. I can't understand it for the life of me. These are the people that bring you into the world, and they would see you in a mobile home, a nursing home in 2 months. And it's not everybody, as I say, Gary, but it's the majority of people. What I'm saying is, they don't have time for them. Oh, no, I haven't got time for this. I haven't got time. You know, and I'm like, what do you mean you haven't got time? You haven't got time for your own work. You haven't got time for your own father.
Okay, stay there, Sean. Stay there, Sean. I want to bring Stephen in. Stephen, now you believe, and it's a question I want to ask as well, age is just a number, because we're talking about ageism in the country, and we're hearing now from Rob and Sean, we're talking about a particular subset of people that might need care in their elder years, and they're sort of not being treated with the respect that is due. But you think that age is just a number. So what is old nowadays, Stephen?
Well, all ages, like, everyone is getting old, and you also just enjoy yourself being young, and like you celebrate your birthday every 12 months, and like I'm 34, and you know, when you're young you can enjoy life, but when you get older, nobody doesn't like getting older at all.
Well, nobody wants to get older, Stephen, but you're just a pup at 34.
No.
And when you're out and about in your daily life and you come across people of an older category, how do you treat them? Do you see them? Are you nice to them? Do you ever see them not being treated well?
Oh, I do, because I have a few neighbours, and they're older people in their 70s, and I do check up on them, make sure that they're okay. And also, because I have grandparents, and I was looking after them when they were around. And I stayed with my grandfather for a while, since he was ill. And he passed away in 2023, coming up to Christmas.
I'm sorry, Stephen.
And, oh, that's okay. I'm doing okay myself. And so, because it is hard, you know, because I don't like seeing people going into a nursing home at all.
That's the fact, Stephen. They're putting into nursing homes unnecessarily. They're just being, you know, and it is a case that, you know, nobody wants to be dealing with them anymore. And it's a sad fact, you know, because, you know, people are getting younger, as you know, Gary. And, you know, the mother and father are being pushed in. They're taking over the house. And it's crazy. I'm seeing it every, you know, left, right and centre. She's not well. She is well. She's all right. She's fucking all right. She has her wits about her. She can piss and shit in a jacket.
Watch the language, Sean.
And
Sean.
She's okay. She can make a cup of tea.
Sean, there's better ways to talk.
No, man. I'm just being honest with you, Gary, here. But I'm just saying, Gary, the fact of the matter is, a lot of people are just, you know, they're exaggerating, Gary, as I would put it, that, you know, they're not well, and exaggerating the cases that, you know, they can't look after themselves. And that's what's pissing me off, Gary. You know, the fact of the matter is, do you know what? I'd look here, I'd clean my mother's fucking.
No, Sean,
I don't care,
Sean,
what
now,
happens
come on,
at
come
the
on.
End of the day.
Sean, come on.
Go on.
Listen, I want to bring Rob back in anyway. So, Sean, stay there and you know, just relax for a second because we'll come back to you. But I know your point is a valid one, that's for sure. But we need to watch the language a little bit. Rob, what do you make of what Sean and Stephen were saying there? They're along the same lines as yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm actually surprised that people are agreeing on this.
I have to say I'm a bit surprised as well. Yeah,
I am now, to be honest. You know, because all I normally hear would be, oh well, no, they're better off in the home because they're not able to look after themselves anymore and all this, and they're falling downstairs and all this stuff. And you know, that doesn't be the case. By the way, I mean, everything is dramatised and exaggerated. The person's their will to live is gone. Then when they end up there in these places, even though they looked after some of them, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that they're all bad. Some of them there would be expensive.
And Rob, are you worried yourself about what's going to happen to you in the future when you get up there?
I've always said this. Now I go with the Vincent Brown. He used to be on TV3. What was it he wanted? He said, "Quit a dark room, a bottle of whiskey, and a revolver."
Oh my God! Well, on that note, I'm going to take a quick break. And stay with me. It's a very dark conversation. I hear you, Rob. Listen, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll come back to this. We want to find out, are we ageist in Ireland? Now, we heard there from Rob, Sean and Stephen that they certainly think that we are and that we're not treating our older people in the community with the respect they deserve. Let us know what you think on 087-188-0008. Is Ireland an ageist society? We'll continue that just after the break here on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Noel Boylan. And before the break, we were asking the question, is Ireland ageist? And we were listening to a few callers talking about their experiences, certainly of I guess, their mothers and fathers and what they see in society about how we are treating our older people. Sean, I had you on the line before we went to break and you want to make one more point. So I'm going to throw you back in there now. Have you washed your mouth out with soap and water? Go ahead. What's your point?
Here's the thing, Gary. I'm very passionate about
what's going on
here tonight.
Yeah.
And I am, Gary. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is, Gary, okay, the parents that you were brought up, they bring you into this world, you know, and the fact of the matter is, if you can see the nowadays, this world, and a lot of, you know, I have to give it out to a lot of, you know, siblings that did, if it means looking after them, you know, going to the toilet at the end of their lives, Gary, which I know my family has done. You know, washing my whole lot, Gary.
Yeah.
I don't need to get into this.
I think an awful lot of people listening in tonight agree with you.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, Gary, they done it for us when we were born. They changed their nappies. We changed theirs when they get older. There's nothing wrong with it, Gary. There's nothing wrong with it, you know. And if this means this, Gary, to everybody else out there, here, it's the utmost respect you can give to a parent, not to put them into a home and see them out in your own in their own home, if you get me. And that's why I'm so passionate about what happened here tonight, Gary, because that's where they should be going out, in their own home, not in a nursing home, not in any other home, you know. They should be seen out in their own home. And if that's what we can do for their parents, you know, if that's their last request, which, you know, it's many parents' requests, you know, that they want to stay at home and they want to be looked after. If you can do that for your parents, Jesus, what is it? You know, what is it that pushing parents into nursing homes? I don't get it, Gary. And I tell you what, that's what upset me tonight.
Sean, I listen, I completely understand because it is an emotive issue for sure. And it's about respect, isn't it? Because as you said, your parents brought you into the world and, you know, you have a duty. You know, you have a duty to look
absolutely,
after them,
Gary,
when they need you.
Absolutely. I would have done any... Gary, I wish I had them here today, you know, and I'd do it all again. And we'd never done, you know, this... this idiocy of putting them into carers or carer homes. We were there for them. We were there for them, Gary. You know, and you know, I swear to God.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Sean. A lot of people listening to tonight will agree with you. And of course, there's an awful lot of people listening. A lot of people listening
in
tonight.
And again and again and again.
Sean, who have looked after their parents or, you know, a loved one, an aunt or an uncle, and taken it as far as they can. So it's important to point that out as well. That sometimes
end of life care. I tell you what, Gary, you know, as I said to you, they bring us in. We see them out. That's it. That's
sometimes it's not that easy, Sean. Sometimes you take it as far as you can and then, you know, that's fair
enough. If you're die hard about your parents and you love your parents, you'll do it.
Stay there. I want to bring Barry in. Barry, do you think Ireland is ageist?
Hi, Gav. I'm just going back. We'll go back to the start of the conversation. It was about the gentleman that got terminated in the pub, isn't this? He was 71.
Yeah, and Barry, if you do me a favour, if you just let me just remind people listening in what this was. The Harry Lemon pub ordered to pay $30,000 in compensation to 71-year-old John Mooney, who was fired because of his age. He had worked there for over 20 years as a barman and later as a maintenance worker. And he was told that the pub's insurance had gone up because of his age, and he was handed a letter confirming his dismissal. Now, the pub denied wrongdoing, but the Workplace Relations Commission ruled in the man's favour. So that's the background to it. So what's your opinion on that, Barry?
Well, like, I want to start off here. Like, the insurance companies, right? So, look, everyone knows a lot of insurance companies, they're scammers, right? They're absolute scammers, right? But my thing is, if that man was 71 years of age, if he's still capable, if he's still fully functional, able to walk away without any problems, there should be no bother there at all. Like, my thing, well, what's retirement at 65 and you get the pension at 66, is that right, is it?
It's up around there, yeah. Lines? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So that man, so when he turns 65, my thing be, that man, once a year he goes for a medical, and if he's fully fit, there should be a report done, sent off to the insurance company, there should be no extension on the employer's premium then, do you know, then that man should be allowed to walk away until he decides it's time to finish. But there should be, you know, I have friends of mine in their 70s, in their 80s, that are still fresh, that are still able to walk away, no problem. Do you know? These guys obviously came along to him and said, right, our insurance have to go up because you're too old, which I think was completely wrong, do you know? And then the WRC then came along and said, right, you were unfairly dismissed, and he got his compensation. So I can see it from the employer's point of view, but I can see it from that man's point of view as well. Do you know, he didn't want to stop walking, obviously. He wanted to keep going. But these guys didn't give him a chance. Their insurance has gone too high.
Yeah, no, Barry, I hear you. And like, that's one thing that we were talking about in our production meeting tonight is like, who's to blame here? It's more societal in the sense, because the pub did what they had to do in terms of the insurance. The insurance company were doing what they had to do according to their books. And the real victim was him. He wanted to work and you know, society was saying no.
Yeah, I think that's completely wrong. Like, if he's still able to walk away, there should have been, like, I think the employer was kind of forced to do this by the insurance companies, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
You know, we have no choice there. And, yeah, I think he was definitely unfairly dismissed, you know, and he was right to do what he did too, you know, go and see compensation, because he obviously wasn't ready to finish work. You know, as I said, I've loads of friends of mine, 70s, 80s, they're still fresh, they're still fit out. And as I said, once a year, go for a medical, get the report. That should go after the insurance company, and there should be no extension on the insurance premiums for the employer. You know, and yeah, that's my own point of view of it.
I was a barman myself back in the day, and I was thinking about a guy I worked with, and at the time he was in his mid-70s, and he could run rings about the rest of us. He was an amazing barman.
Yeah.
He was amazing. And there was no talk of him retiring or being fired or anything like that. They'd be lost without him. He was amazing. There's no reason why at 75 you can't be a great barman.
Well, you look, you'd like, times are different now, Gary. You look at guys in their 70s and in their 80s, and like, they're like guys in their 50s, you know, they're fresh out. There's a lot of, you know, things that people like. I was only showing a photograph the other day when I was a small fellow with my dad, and my dad was 23, and he looked like a guy in his 40s, you know? It's just the back in the 80s, like, you know? It's just, things are an awful lot different now. And, you know, people are a lot more fresher. I don't know what it is, but people are a lot more fresher. They're well able to do things. When I'm working myself, I know those guys, they're not returning to 65. They don't want to, and you wouldn't think they're 65, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, I think I definitely go back to the the insurance crowd, I think they have a lot of questions to answer this. Like, did they really just put up the premium because of the man's age? Like, that's kind of discrimination as well. He's 71, so we'll up the premium. Do you know, I think that's a massive thing there, the insurance crowd. They're all scammers. That's my own opinion on that, like, you know.
So where do you leave America? The last two presidents, the age of them, well able for the job. Well, some could argue.
Do you know? Well, like, yeah, look, Trump is, like, he doesn't look like he seems to be fresh out, doesn't he, in all fairness?
Fresh enough for his age.
Him, the man
yeah.
is still, you know?
Yeah, fresh yeah. enough for his age.
Do you know, he's heading for it, I think.
But no, you raise a good point, Barry, and that's one that people are texting in about at the moment. They're all saying the same thing, is that, you know the old saying, like, 40 is the new 50, or 50 is the new 40 and 60 is the new 50.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. People are healthy and they're fit and they're aging extremely well, much better than they were 25 years ago.
I'm not going to go off topic, no, I just want to give you one example. About 3 years ago, my car insurance, I was paying €500 for the last 3 years, 4 years, with the same company, and this year I got my premium. It went from 500 to 1,500, right? With no explanation. They just hiked it up €1,000, and I never got an explanation. And I went to the crowd and I got it for 460 or something like that. And I've no faith in insurance companies since then. And I just think that has a big, big thing to do with a lot of things.
And do you think, Barry, that we treat people of a certain age differently than we should?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Where I'm from, and like, I have a lot of elderly friends, and they're looked after the same. We look after them the same as everyone else, you know. So I think they're all treated fairly well, and yeah.
Do you not think young people sort of look through old people? They don't even see they're there half the time. I know up here in Dublin, when I'm on the bus sometimes, I see old people getting on the bus and people are just kind of looking at their phones. They're not even noticing that maybe they should get out of their seat to give it up.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you could be right. The youngsters these days, yeah, they I'm in my 40s now, but yeah, the youngsters these days wouldn't have the same kind of respect. Is that the word I'm looking for?
I think it is, Barry, because when I was coming up, I was totally taught to respect my elders and to say yes, no, yeah. ma'am, and all that kind of stuff. And everyone in the family was given a title, uncle this, auntie that. Respect was shown always, and to be kind to old
yeah.
people. But I don't see much of it on the streets, I have to say.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot different now, Gar. It's a lot different out there. You made a good point there. It's all mobile phones now, isn't it? Do you know?
And Barry, do you worry about...
You watch their bus and you see everyone...
Do you worry about your future,
yeah.
Barry, when you're older? Do you worry about how you're going to be treated?
No, not yet. Not yet, no.
You're not there yet.
No. I don't think that far ahead. No.
It's far, far, far ahead, Barry. Stay there with me. I've got Roisin on line one. Roisin, what do you think? Is Ireland ageist?
I think we are, to be fair. I think while we do appreciate our elderly, we don't make time for them in our communities. We don't make the necessary, accessibility ways for them. We don't account for them. And I have seen through different families as well, an awful lot of them, when they get to a certain age, where it's like, right, nursing home, it's time for nursing home. And you're just like, sweet Jesus.
I'm hearing that a lot tonight, Roisin, and I can't believe it, that people are, you know, almost timing their watches and they're like, right, it's time for the nursing home.
Yeah, where I know myself with my dad and my mum, I don't want to see them go into a nursing home. I would like to think that me and my siblings would look after them. But I see it even with medical situations where the hospital just don't have the facilities or the manpower to look after them. And it's like, right, look, into a nursing home. And trying to get grants and supports to keep them at home in their own comforts and their own ways is next to impossible. And it's not given the chance that it should be given.
I'm getting a lot of texts in here, Roisin. I'll read one out for you here. Most people in nursing homes have a good family looking after them. It's not all doom and gloom. I looked after my parents for years until I had a breakdown. My mum died and dad went to the nursing home. He loved it. Didn't want to come near us at all. having the crack with the nurses and the other residents. They all loved him. So, you know, that's a good experience, I suppose, of a nursing home.
Oh, I get it. And I'm not dissing the nursing homes. Genuinely, I'm not. And it works for some people. But don't forget, everything in life is not a one size fits all. And I would like to think that when it comes to the stage where my mum and dad need caring for, that me and my siblings would be able to do it between us and have the pride and the want to be able to do it. Because at the end of the day, they've wiped their backsides for long enough and they've kept us going in life for long enough. But I see it in society, there's not enough encouragement and the accessibility is a thing. Like, I see it with my elderly in-laws. It is difficult for them to get out at the minute. It is difficult for them to have the fear, like they have an awful fear of going out at the minute, and to try and shake that from them, because everything is nervous for them. Everything is a nerve wrack for them.
And why are they afraid, Roisin? Why are they afraid to go out?
I think it's just because when you become older, you're more frail, you're afraid of falling. You're just more afraid of the outside world, right? When you're in your own four walls, you're in your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And when you go outside that, you're in the stretch zone, and they just want to know what to expect, and they want to be in the company of somebody in case they do have any falls or ailments or anything like that. Like I see it with my dad. My dad's only in his 60s, but he's up and fit and great, and he's doing very well for his age. But I hate to think for him alone, and societies have gone to a point where they don't interact with their neighbours anymore. They don't know who their neighbours are anymore. And enough of that, the elderly have been forgotten because of that.
I hear you, Roisin. We were talking about that earlier on, indeed, that, you know, the community used to look out for each other and the neighbours would look out for each other. And if there was somebody a little older that lived down the road, I mean, it still does go on. It's not like you're talking about when it was just the way life was. Everybody looked out for everybody, and you'd knock into the neighbours and say, do you need anything, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you knew Mary down the road was, like, you knew their kids were coming back and forward. You knew they were going to be all right for the shop, so... And now it's gone to a stage where you don't even know who they are, and you just say hello and good luck, and that's it. Like, I just think Ireland doesn't cope well with the elderly. They don't look after them well enough, I think. Like, we've seen it before where they tried to take the medical cards off them with pure disregard, and fair play to them. They all got together and they fought and they fought and they fought and they got it back.
That's right. They did great.
I think it was a step in the right direction, because they showed the government they weren't to be messed with. They really weren't.
And isn't it hard, I suppose, hard nowadays to be of an older generation, especially with the way society has moved so fast, in the sense that we had a text in this evening from a listener who said that their mother was in a community of houses, and they were doing a residents' association meeting, but they were doing it on Zoom.
Yeah.
And sure, that was no use to her mother at all.
Yes. Like, look, I'll be honest, I hate technology. I'm no use with it. I can charge a phone, I can download apps, but anything beyond that now, you may as well forget about with me. So I can only imagine how the elderly feel. Like, I see it with Dad. If Dad needs anything done that's on the phone, like, he had to go and get forms there a couple of weeks ago, and he was advised, if you go onto this website and download them and get them printed and shirt, you may as well be talking double Dutch to the elderly with that, because they're not going to know how to log into some website and download them and send them off for printing, and that's an awful lot.
Something that he could have just made a phone call and spoken to a human and gotten it sorted that way. Is that what you're saying?
This is it. This is the thing. And, like, look, you know and I know, we have an app for everything. You have an app for everything. And if you look at the majority of the elderly people, they just have a basic phone, because they don't know how to adapt to the social, like, not even saying social media, but to the different apps, and everything is on an app. To order a taxi, it's on an app. And the majority of elderly people who are living alone tend not to drive. And if they need to get a taxi to go to their medical appointments, because hospitals are not built for them, they're built so far away, they don't have medical clinics that are near them. Like, I look at Dad, and Dad has to travel an hour and 10 minutes to his local clinic. Like, if he didn't have a car and didn't drive, that would be on, the onus would be on one of us to go down, take time off work to organise our families, to go down, pick him up, bring him to his appointment, bring him home, get him settled, and back home again. Like, it's a whole day, like.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, Roisin, isn't it? And people don't understand that. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I want you to stay with me, Roisin. Roisin, I want you to stay with me. I have to take a quick break. Stay on the line because I want to come back to you. We're asking the question, is Ireland ageist? Get in touch with the show on 087 188 0008. We'll be back in a minute here on Nighttime Talk. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Niall Boylan. Before the break, we were asking the question, are we ageist? And if we are, is this the last form of discrimination we need to take seriously? And as always the way on this show, it's sort of taking a detour, and an awful lot of people are calling in and texting in about how we treat older people more so than are we ageist. I suppose it's in the same lane, but a lot of people talking about the fears and worries they have about their parents when they get elderly. A lot of people angry at people for what they deem to be malpractice in many ways. Loads of text coming in. Get them into us on 087 188 0008. I'll read one out to you here. My mam is in hospital now. She can't live or mind herself on her own. I brought her back to my house. She wasn't able for my stairs, no downstairs toilet. Brought her back home, had home help going round, no answer from her phone or door. She went around with a spare key. She was on the floor, rang an ambulance, the fear everybody has, I suppose. She's back in hospital. I never would ask her or tell her to go into a home. She really needs to go in, but it's her decision. It is tough for people out there, Roisin, isn't it?
I feel it is for the elderly, yeah.
And because for the people looking after them, Roisin.
Unfortunately. Sorry, go ahead.
It's hard for the kids that are looking after their elderly parents. Can you hear me?
I certainly can hear you there now. Yeah, you were gone for a second.
Yeah, I was just saying, Roisin, you were mentioning that your dad's in his 60s and you're a bit worried about the future. And we just read out a text there about a woman who is worried about her mother. She's living on her own and there's ambulances and no phone calls. I know that feeling myself when the phone doesn't ring. You get awful worried and your mind, you know, it races. It's hard for both of them, isn't it? The parents and the kids.
It is, because the infliction is put back and the responsibility is put back on the kids to do it. But I take it as a privilege because of the fact that we were cared for so well as well. But I feel when I've heard these stories from friends and colleagues and working as well, when they have come to the stage of having to look after their parents and move their parents in with them or whatever it may be, or move in with their parents, the absolute war that they've had with the services because they can't get the services and it's not straightforward. They've had to go roundabouts, and like one girl said to me, "Mark, I'm only short of giving a blood sample myself just to get the basic level of care for her parents." And the part that we all hate about it is the fact that our parents had to work. Like, there was no social welfare when our parents were rearing us. And they had to work, and they paid their taxes, and they went about their day, and they did hard slog, to be fair, for ourselves, and they've paid the government enough. But yeah, it's just not thanked. There's no thanks in it. There's no. It's like I said to my dad. Me and my dad have these conversations quite regularly, and it's like we said, there's no grace in growing old in Ireland.
Yeah, that's a theme I'm hearing tonight, in the sense that you look around the world. I've got friends in the States and in France and Germany, and there's a very different approach. I mean, certainly in America, for instance, in terms of the time that people have when they're working, all you have to do is turn on an American news station and the guy hosting the news can be sometimes in his 70s. And there's no talk of him retiring or anything. They sort of respect the wisdom and the experience.
You do see it on the TV programmes and reality programmes where in shops in America working, and they're in their 70s and heading for their 80s, and like some of them, and I could see it with Dad, some of them are only doing it for their mental health, and I can see that with Dad. Dad is just, he's working at the moment for his mental health and he loves it. He gets out and he has a great time, and he's telling me all the stories about when he goes to work and who he meets and the chats he has, and it's great for him because it's keeping his mind occupied, it's keeping his mind busy, and it's keeping him busy, and it's keeping him young. Where when you retire here in Ireland, what is there if you don't have enough money to go and travel and enjoy your life? If you don't have a pension, a decent pension, what is there like?
You do see that, Roisin, don't you? Over my life, I've seen some people flourish after retirement, but also some people go down very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, they get old quickly and, you know, golf and trips away. They're not all that they're cracked up to be. Working every day, as the old saying goes, never rest, never rust.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. That's, I can see it with Dad. Like, Dad is so happy when he's working and he has great stories to tell and he enjoys the banter and the chat that he has with his customers. And it's great because then I know he's out, he's enjoying himself, he's happy. He's safe in a way. He's safe, and it's keeping him that bit younger. Where I see it with the ex-in-laws, they're elderly and they're becoming so afraid of adventuring in life that they're becoming isolated, and they're doing that themselves. They're isolating themselves out of fear.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose everybody's different. Roisin, stay with me. I want to bring Micheál in because you're different. You're 82, Micheál, and not a bother on you.
Absolutely not. I mean, my thank you very much. My birthday is this week coming.
I'm happiest of birthdays to you, Micheál, from everybody on Nighttime Talk.
Well, good to be in my house. It's a fortunate day in Stella Thorgan, Lafall. Now,
I don't know what you just said, Micheál, but absolutely.
I knew you'd agree with me. I knew well.
go ahead there.
Coming 82, and by God, I've seen changes. In my time, like, we grew up with this heightened respect for elders. I heard you mentioning it earlier. No, sir, yes, ma'am, whatever it was. Respect, that word has gone out of the, it's not to be had anymore. Definitely not. But apart from that, we got, there's no regard of the government for the people. I'm lucky enough that I'm insured with Tarkus Insurance, and I have no problem. But the situation is that, in some cases, homes are essential. Now, like, I'm separated, but my wife is in the TLC in Maynooth, and you couldn't ask for better. Absolutely, it's unbelievable. The care they get there, they're looked after so well. The activities there are brilliant. And I told them, if anything ever happened to me, I'd be glad to be a patient of theirs, sir, or a resident of theirs. It's great to see people like that, but like it comes from the government down. There's no incentive like for people to mind their parents. Like, I mean, we say yes to their duty because we reared our kids. Like, I have five great-grandkids.
Hello? Five great-grandkids.
Five great-grandkids of me. But I find that there's massive changes now. When I grew up, you went to see your granny or your granddad and you have hello, yes, and you're so polite. But now kids, they don't bother. They're behind going to see their parents or grandparents. No, they expect them to come to see them. The world has changed about. But the government in particular even, there's hundreds of millions being spent, hundreds of millions being spent on bringing in people to this country who never did and never will contribute tuppence to the system. But the people who are now, like, maybe an awful lot younger than myself, but I'm flying it. I drive a truck. I love work and I idolise it.
And do you work, Micheál?
Of course I do. I drive a lorry.
You drive a lorry?
Yeah, why not?
And do you think that's the secret to your longevity?
Well, I don't drink or smoke, but I was always exceptionally fit. I loved playing games and that bad. But an awful lot is in the mind as well. Like, I had a couple of horrendous crashes, but a lot of it is in the mind. You can't lie down and accept defeat. You just can't. You have to look the world in the face and say, I'm just as second good as you. And I tell everybody I'm 50. And a lot of people know I'm 21, I'm an expert, but I'm the oldest now. I'm the new 50. That's what I say. I don't care a damn. Like, age doesn't come into me. Like, the 50 or 80, their door numbers and hall doors and street corners, anything you want to look at. Age does not come into my world. And think of other than that, like, but you think of it, like, there's a home there near me enough now in Salons, and some about 140 million to build a hotel. Like, that 140 million, we 15,000 people, homeless, mad people with children looking for accommodation. And one 140 million to build a hotel for the wilds of Africa. That is absolutely chronic. That money should be put into looking after your own first. If you have a surplus, oh, by all means, I have nothing against anybody coming in. But you have to look after your own first.
And Micheál, what would you say if someone came along to you, Micheál, tomorrow and said, Micheál, it's time to stop driving the lorry. We can't get the insurance. There's problems with this and we're gonna let you go, like what happened to this man. What would you say to them?
Well, if I told you that, it's 100% true. Because the company that I work with, I don't want anything on it, couldn't insure me. But I have my own van and I have my own insurance with the Arcus Insurance. And I find them exceptionally brilliant. That's it. And I don't have a bother.
So like this sort of happened to you, Micheál. This similar situation sort of happened to you in a way.
It's already happened to me. But the point about it is I put it onto my own hands and I went my own way and you get your own transport and you can't get your own insurance. But the point about it is you can't lie down just because you're 80 or 81 or 82 or 92. It makes no damn difference. That's only a number. That's nothing got to do with you. You are what you are. That's it. But in relation to people going into nursing homes and that, now, that's my business, Rick's business is in one. And there wasn't much choice in it because when she got Alzheimer's, she became a bit on the violent side. And like there was no way of controlling, totally incontinent. And they're so well looked after. Like it's just hard to believe how well. But then it's down to management. Management picked the staff that they have representing them on the ground floor. And the staff are just, they're power excellence. I go in there, like I go in there maybe 4 or 5 days a week when I get a chance. And go in and say the roles, you say bits and pieces. But I think it's absolutely brilliant to see people like, people who strike the homes, and maybe there are homes that aren't up to scratch. But we're lucky enough to have the one here in the minute, and it's excellent. There's just no way you couldn't sing enough praise about it.
Well, it's good to hear that, Micheál, because it's nice to get a bit of balance on it, because a lot of people were texting in tonight and calling in indeed, talking about their experiences going through the system in many ways, and to hear a glowing story, because I tried to make that point earlier on in the hour that, you know, not everybody has a bad experience. You know, a lot of people have good experiences with hospitals and nursing homes, and there's some great ones out there.
Yeah, there definitely is, but the point is, it's up to the management, I presume. They will select the staff that they have representing with the different quarters. Like, there's an awful lot of maybe 10 different areas like they have to be looked after from one to three. I won't go into detail, but the point is, the staff that I know, and like, the third part of this is, I'd say 80% of them are not Irish. But the point about it, they're all brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The more Indian staff, it's unbelievable how brilliant they are. You'd say, Mother of God, where do you come from? But it all has to do with management, selecting the staff and putting them into the correct line or whatever that they're in.
Yeah, there's some great people out there, Micheál.
Pardon?
There's some great people out there, angels amongst us. I want to ask you, Micheál, you're 82 and you sound like you have more energy than I have at 44. What is one thing about being 82 that maybe a 40-year-old doesn't know? Doesn't understand.
Yeah, there's 82. Yes, people look at you, and as well as that, if you look at 82 and you're looking for a certain line, and maybe there's a job here or a job there, and you want to choose and do it. What age are you? Well, you want to see the looks you get, some for Jesus, and then they tell me, well, Christ, you don't look your age, but you shouldn't be asked your age. You're out doing, providing a service. You shouldn't be asking your age. But those that are the biggest critics of the whole lot are those who know you exceptionally well. And say, oh, Jesus Christ, man, are you able for that now? It's not got to do with it. The one person who would know, you wouldn't look for something to do if you knew you weren't capable of doing it. It's all in your own head. You're capable, and that's it. And it's up to you. If you're looking for to do provide a service, you wouldn't be looking for that service if, in your own mind, you weren't capable of providing it.
Well, Micheál, I'm going to have to let you go because I have to go and do the news now at the top of the hour. But it was great talking to you tonight. It was great talking to you. And a big happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. With the help of God, I'll see you again.
I love it. I hope you have a brilliant birthday and keep on driving. Great to talk to you, Micheál.
I hope you're welcome for me, birthday. That didn't mean nothing to me. I couldn't care less.
Oh, there you go. There's the attitude that keeps you going. I love it. Micheál, thanks a million. Okay, well, there you have it. Just before I go to the news, I'm going to read out a couple of texts that we got in. Good evening, all. It's sad to say, but yes, Ireland is an ageist society and is becoming more so with the passage of time. It's bad enough that many people who, when they reach 65 or 67, are told, thanks for your service and loyalty. Now, there's the door. Goodbye and don't come back. And one last one. My mother was in a nursing home for over 3 years. She was treated terribly in the home, often getting hit by other residents who had dementia and didn't know what they were doing. And I'd have to go looking for staff to remove them from her room. My mum died 3 years ago at 66 years old. We missed out on a lot of time with her due to COVID restrictions. She beat lung cancer but had COPD and fell in the nursing home and fractured her hip, wasn't sent to hospital till a week later and unfortunately didn't recover. A lot of old people are not getting the respect they deserve. Well, there you have it. I'm sure it's a topic we will return to at some time here on Nighttime Talk.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.